Hello again, friends. Welcome back to our online Bible study as we're thinking about prophetic lessons from the coronavirus crisis. And it's wonderful to have you to be part of this group studying together. I am Paul Scharf, Church Ministries representative for the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. And in this initial series that we're doing together here on sermonaudio.com, we're talking about the coronavirus crisis and the prophetic lessons we can learn from it. I have an article I've written in support of this series, and you can find that here also on Sermon Audio or also on sharperiron.org, where it's been published as well. Invite you to read that. Thank you again for joining us as we think about this important subject today. And we are heading now to Lesson 3 and thinking about this heady hour in history. What an amazing time. God has placed us here for such a time as this, and He has put us each here to share in this time together. And we need to learn how to navigate through this time, because I think that the events that we're seeing today illustrate before us prophesied future events, but they require a solidly biblical and prophetic perspective and understanding in order to deal with them, I think, in the best way that God would have us to do. This is a heady time. People are making amazing statements, and I wanted to share with you some very sobering comments, first of all, from Christian leaders who have described this time. Pastor David Brown said, "I've been in the pastorate for 50 years. He said, all those previous tragic events, and he goes through a litany of them in this sermon. I invite you to read the sermon, or listen to the sermon, I should say, here on Sermon Audio. And listen to Pastor Brown. He's a great preacher, and he has a wonderful message about this situation. And he says, all those previous tragic events, my friends, do not compare to the worldwide COVID-19 panic that we are facing today. What a statement. He's talking about things even including 9/11 and saying none of those things had the impact that the coronavirus is having. This little coronavirus that gets into our system. Isn't that amazing? And of course, he's talking not just about the virus, but about the whole situation that has unfolded around the coronavirus, just as we are in this study. What a statement. Attorney Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. And you can see from the attribution at the bottom of the page here. This is from several weeks ago, right at the beginning, but yet he said at that time already, what has happened in the last few weeks is astonishing. He said, I am shocked that it has happened so quickly. Talking about the reaction and the response and the orders that went into place in various states in response to the coronavirus. Dr. Andy Woods, COVID-19 is being used to fundamentally change our world. Now put that thought on the sticky side of your mind, because we're going to get back to it, look at it in much greater depth later on. Right now we're just considering, we're standing back in this lesson and just measuring with awe the magnitude of this crisis and the effects it's having. Dr. Wood says, what we are seeing right now is not only the fundamental transformation of America, but the fundamental transformation of the world. COVID-19 is being used as a cover for that. Isn't that amazing? Attorney Michael Dean here in Wisconsin wrote a letter explaining our governor's orders that we received here in this state. And he included within it this quote, "The unthinkable is now thinkable." Things are happening that have not happened before. Dr. James White, I do not think we will ever get past the results of this. I think there has been a fundamental changing of direction in our culture. I think there has been a fundamental changing of direction in the relationship of church and state in the United States. He said, I think that was already happening. This is just simply turn the light on. Well, what are others saying? Let's think of some considerations from the culture at large. One man that I have respected and enjoyed listening to through the years, I actually met him once when he was running for president, Pat Buchanan. He wrote a column, again, fairly early on in this whole situation. He said, "The coronavirus crisis seems to be one of those epical events that alter the character of the country and the course of the republic." Wow! This little coronavirus. But, of course, there's been a massive response to the coronavirus as well. And, again, he's talking about the whole crisis, the health crisis and the resulting economic crisis and all that's involved in the whole response that's been offered to all of this. I've been collecting screenshots of headlines through this whole time, and I started out doing that thinking, wow, I've got some great stuff, and now I realize I've got way more than I'll ever want to include in all of this. Here's just a headline from the Wall Street Journal, an opinion piece written actually by Henry Kissinger. He said, "The coronavirus pandemic will forever alter the world order." Wow. Amazing. Here's a headline from The Guardian. "New York governor says U.S. won't get back to normal after coronavirus." A headline from Yahoo says, "Dr. Fauci says we're not going back to normal without a vaccine or treatment." But what if there's not a vaccine? What if the vaccine isn't successful? What if the vaccine only covers certain who are affected by the coronavirus and not others? What if not everyone wants to take the vaccine? Interesting questions. Newsweek, "Dr. Fauci says he doesn't think Americans should ever shake hands again to prevent spread of coronavirus." Really? Did God create us to live this way? Is this how we are to live, in constant fear and dread of death? We've talked about that a little bit earlier, haven't we? That's what Dr. Fauci tells us. Interesting quotes from George Soros. I trust you know who he is. I won't take time to going to his background. He's, of course, involved in many causes in our country and promoting much of the agenda of the left. And he has a very, very interesting interview that he's done here recently. And notice what he said. And if you think I'm pulling any of this out of context, go back, read the context, read the whole article. I don't think I am. He says, "This is the crisis of my lifetime. Even before the pandemic hit, I realized that we were in a revolutionary moment where what would be impossible or even inconceivable in normal times had become not only possible, but probably absolutely necessary." Now, why aren't these normal times? This is not, in my opinion, in my understanding of history, the worst health crisis we have ever faced, and yet we've responded to it in a way that is far different and far greater than anything we've ever tried to do before, as far as I understand. Why aren't these normal times? It's almost like there's an agenda here, isn't there? There's a goal, there's a purpose that is behind the manipulation of the health situation for other reasons. He said it is an unprecedented event. Really? The health part was unprecedented? I'm not sure about that. But he says it was. It is an unprecedented event. Maybe he's talking about the whole situation, including the way it's been phrased and perhaps manipulated by some and responded to by some. He says it is an unprecedented event that probably has never occurred in this combination, and it really endangers the survival of our civilization. Now, I read through that quote fairly quickly, and there's a lot there to go over, so I'm going to take you back to the first part of it. He said, "This is the crisis of my lifetime." This, again, this is the first part of the quote that we looked at previously. I want you to see something that he said here. Think about it real carefully. "Even before the pandemic hit, I realized that we were in a revolutionary moment." Now, wait a minute. Maybe, I don't know if, maybe this was a, just an uncautious statement. Maybe he didn't really mean to say what he said, but he certainly did not correct the record that has gone out in this highly publicized interview. He said, even before the pandemic hit, I realized, how did you realize something was about to happen before the pandemic hit? Now, maybe he would say, well, he's talking about when he saw it coming from China and from Europe. I don't know what he meant by that, but it certainly is interesting, isn't it? Andy Woods has already told us this crisis is being used, it is being exploited, it is being manipulated to bring the fundamental transformation that many have wanted for decades into our country and throughout the world. And I think that's what's happening. So as Christians, we look at all this from a biblical and prophetic perspective and we say, where is this going? Where is history heading? Aren't you glad the answer to that is not found in any of these sources or in any news media or in any political party? But it's found in the eternal Word of God. God has a plan for history. He created all things. He created time itself. He has a plan from eternity past to eternity future. He interrupted the timeless eternity past and created the world and created time. He made all things in 6 days. We've talked about all this. We've laid the foundation. If you've missed any of those previous installments, I invite you to go back and watch them and go through them slowly and look at the charts and consider them carefully. God has a plan for history. He is working all things after the counsel of his own will. He is directing history and moving it according to his own plan. No one has been his counselor. Only God himself is sovereign over history, and he has a plan. And at the center of history stands the cross of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And in the future, history will be divided. It will be consummated with the coming of Christ as King to establish his kingdom for 1,000 years here in the world in history and to bring the rule of God back to the earth and to reign for 1,000 years. And then the kingdom becomes eternal forever, and the Son even turns his earthly kingdom back to the Heavenly Father, as 1 Corinthians 15 describes. And God rules forever in the new heavens and the new earth of the eternal kingdom. Now, that's where history is going, but how do we get from where we are today to that glorious future? Well, there are many things that are going to be happening in the world, and God is going to use those things and bring those things for the purpose of bringing these events to pass and bringing many people into relationship with him in a great ingathering of souls that will happen, that the Bible describes not for the end of the church age, but for the time of tribulation that is ahead of us after the rapture of the church. Now, let's hone in on some of that here and think about some quotes from Dr. Thomas Ice of the Pre-Trib Research Center in a wonderful article that I invite you to read and study in its entirety, to go back and look at it, think about it carefully, examine the quotes I'm pulling out here in their context. And here's what he says. I think it is consistent with our view of prophecy to develop a scenario of players and events which will be in place when God's plan for Israel resumes in the tribulation after the rapture. Now, again, if you've been with us previously, we've talked about the rapture, we've talked about the tribulation, we've talked about stage setting, God setting the stage for future events that cast a shadow as we approach their time in history, we see their shadow already lying down on the ground ahead of them. And that shadow may even fall here all the way across into the church age in which we live. And we see God setting the stage for events that will occur in the tribulation. Stage setting. Now, we've talked about this before. So this lesson is sort of a bridge between our earlier lessons where we laid the foundation for all this and the future lessons where we're really going to delve into some specifics. But here's what God is doing at the perhaps the end of the church age, very late in the church age, which we live in right now, this time we live in right now. He's setting the stage. The players and events are getting up to take their place, and we see their shadows being cast all the way back now into our time. He says this scenario views current events of increasingly setting the stage for end time events, even though they will not commence during the current church age. So the rapture of the church is next. It's imminent. It can happen at any moment. And so what Ice is saying is that we are not seeing the direct fulfillment. If you read his article and go back and really study that article, I encourage you to do that. He's talking about the fact that we're not seeing today the fulfillment of what the Bible prophesies, specifically for the tribulation, certainly not for the coming kingdom, but we're seeing what we're seeing generally today is we're seeing these shadows of future events that are preparing to happen. They will be happening in the tribulation, and we're seeing evidence of them. We're seeing their shadows falling on our time, back in our time in the church age, even though the rapture hasn't taken place yet. And so these events are not being fulfilled today, but God is preparing the world for their fulfillment. Now, is he using the coronavirus crisis for that purpose? Well, we have no scriptural authority to say that absolutely, we understand exactly, explicitly that he is, but we certainly can infer, and that's what Ice is saying here in these quotes, we can infer, we can see, generally, it looks like this is what's happening in our time today. There's preparation for fulfillment, as you see on the chart here on the screen. Now, notice that this chart comes from LaHaye and Ice, and Ice specifically believes in further preparation between the rapture and the tribulation. We've talked about that before. I take Dr. John Whitcomb's view that there really will be very little, if any, further preparation between the rapture and the tribulation, because God never leaves himself without a witness on the earth. So I think the tribulation occurs very quickly after the rapture, because the tribulation involves, you remember, the coming of the two witnesses who are going to identify and evangelize and train and commission 144,000 other witnesses who will go out and lead that great end time ingathering of souls. So I think the tribulation occurs very quickly after the rapture. That's a debatable point within those of us who obviously agree on the overarching themes of premillennialism, pre-tribulationalism, dispensationalism, the imminency of the rapture. But if my view is correct, that would mean that even more we would expect there to be preparation for events of the tribulation before the rapture. I hope you are following with me. If you have a question, if I'm unclear on any of this, if this is all new to you and you have questions about it, I invite you to contact me here on Sermon Audio or on Facebook or to email me, and all that information is available here in my contacts. And I'd love to take the time to explain it to you further if I am in any way being unclear to anyone specifically. I know that for some of you this is all very, very familiar. But Ice goes on to say that so while prophecy is not being fulfilled in our day, and I've said that now, he says it does not follow that we cannot track general trends in current preparation for the coming tribulation, especially since it immediately follows the rapture. So that's basically what I just said as we looked at the last chart. So he's talking about general trends, like perhaps the coronavirus crisis, that play into events that the Bible describes that will be fulfilled during the tribulation. We're going to think specifically about in that light, in that on that track, in coming lessons. Okay? So hang on to that. Now, he also talks about, we could take that term that he uses, general trends, in another little bit different way, and talk about the fact that the Bible really only gives us general trends when it comes to what is going to happen during the church age, between now and the end of the church age. Ice is saying we can see the general trends that lead into events that the Bible describes that will happen later in the tribulation. I agree with him. I believe that. We're going to talk about that. The Bible also gives us some general trends. It only gives us general trends as to what we're really going to expect before the rapture. General trends of what will happen during the church age. Let me share a couple of them with you. They're basically negative. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. It seems that Paul is talking about the trend toward, as we move toward the end of the church age. Also, 2 Timothy 3:1, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. This seems to be Paul's description of the closing days of the church age, which we may be living in right now. God has placed you here, friend, for such a time as this. Be bold, stand strong, have faith, trust in the Lord God. He's put you here in this time to serve him, to be a witness, to be his messenger to this world at this time. And wouldn't it be wonderful if he's placed us here to be taken up in the rapture itself, to be part of that amazing event? Another general trend is that there will be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, and Paul in 2 Timothy 4 develops that at some length, and we're sadly all too familiar with results of that concept all around us, aren't we? We could look at more general trends of the church age by turning to Revelation 2 and 3 and looking at the messages to the seven churches. That would be a great study perhaps we can do by itself at another time. But these are some general trends we see as the church age moves toward its conclusion. And at the same time, we see these general trends relating to events that the Bible describes coming to fulfillment in the tribulation. We know that the next event in God's plan is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. Resurrection and rapture. Next Monday is Memorial Day. If you go to the cemetery, of course, it's filled with graves. At the rapture, at the moment of the rapture, many graves will be opened. All the graves of all true believers in Christ will be opened. And the dead in Christ will rise first. They have to be resurrected and raptured. Those who are living today as believers in Christ only need to be raptured. So rapture is the broader term and covers all. The resurrection occurs first. So theoretically, and Dr. Whitcomb used to say this sometimes jokingly, the next event on God's calendar is not the rapture, but the resurrection of dead Christians to be caught up in the rapture. Of course, that will happen so quickly, that no one will even know that there's a practical difference. By the way, friend, if you're waiting and saying, I want to wait and see if there's a rapture, or maybe you're saying, I want to wait and see first. I want to see those dead Christians rise, and then I'll know the rapture's about to happen, and I'll get ready. Friends, you won't get ready, because it will happen in the twinkling of an eye, in the time it takes the sunlight to bounce off the pupil of your eye, and it'll be over and done, and you will be left behind. I invite you, I beg of you, friend, if you have not trusted in Christ alone, that he, being eternal God, became also man, died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, opening the way to life so that you could have eternal life in heaven with him, your sins all forgiven, if you will trust in him alone. Receive him by grace alone, through faith alone. Trust in Christ alone and receive the gift of eternal salvation. Don't be left behind. We've talked about this chart before. I just put it here as a reference point. Because what do we do now as we see these trends of things that are developing? We see apparently the trends of the end of the church age. We see apparently trends toward future tribulation events that are not being fulfilled today, but that God is setting the stage for their ultimate fulfillment. How do we handle this? Well, Jesus in his day rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees because he said, "You're hypocrites. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." And there are signs, not of the rapture, again, that's an imminent event. There's no sign of the rapture, no event that must precede it, but there are signs of Christ's second coming. He talked about them, for instance, in Luke 21, signs of the final aspect of his second coming, which is return in glory at the end of the tribulation, signs of events that will happen in the tribulation. Again, they're not being specifically shown and fulfilled today, but we see their shadows being cast out ahead of them. We see God setting the stage for them. Signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars. What's one of those signs? Jesus said, men's hearts failing them from fear. And if that doesn't characterize the coronavirus crisis, I don't know what does. People in panic, people terrified, people in fear, watching the media all day long and getting themselves just completely petrified, terrified over what could happen, might happen, may happen. Friends, we talked about in our very first lesson, there's the possibility of peace in the pandemic. Turn to the Lord God with those anxieties and those fears. Come to him and being anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And let him give you the peace of God to rule over your heart. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, you do not ultimately need to be terrified of the coronavirus. You might get it. I might get it. It could kill any one of us. But if we're believers in Jesus Christ, that means we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now, none of us want to die. I don't want any of you to die. I want to be alive when Christ returns at the rapture. I trust that's your hope as well. But friends, don't be in panic over something that God has allowed for his purposes when he has put you here at this opportune time in history to serve him in a particular way. Do those things that only you can do. You know there are some things that only you can do, and there are some things that only I can do to serve the Lord God, to advance the gospel, to advance the ministry. Do those things today. Don't live in panic. Next time, Lord willing, we'll consider the prevalence of a powerful pestilence, as we're going to dig deeper into these trends that are developing now. These are the trends of things that will culminate in fulfillment in the tribulation. Things like Jesus talked about saying there would be pestilence. So again, this is not being fulfilled today, but God is setting the stage for future fulfillment, perhaps in our time. I trust that today's lesson has been a blessing to you, an encouragement, a help to you. And I thank you so much for joining me. And so until next time, may God bless you. Thanks again, and please make use of all the resources here on our page on sermonaudio.com. God bless.